A master treatment plan for Kualoa Ranch has just been finalized. Casper Vanderwood, research manager of the Hawaii Ant Lab on the Big Island, flew to Honolulu yesterday for a site visit and met with ranch and state agricultural officials. As we first reported, the treatment will cover 20 acres of the ranch. We talked this morning to both Vanderwood and Taylor Kellerman, director of agriculture and stewardship for Kualoa Ranch, about what's involved. We start off with Kaz.
In this situation, we have the luxury of time. This is going to be a five-year project, and we wanted to make sure that we went through all the possible options open to us to choose the one that's best for the job but also best for the ranch.
And what are those options?
We were looking at whether we should be treating aerially or from the ground, and we had a range of pesticides that we were looking at using. Being on a working farm, we have to be very careful that we're following all the regulations when it comes to pesticide use, and some of the baits that we could have used may interfere with the future use of that piece of land. So we wanted to be sure that we went through all the possible options.
Right, because Kualoa Ranch, I mean, that's an active ranch. You've got just a multitude of uses between the visitors there, the movie productions that go on, and, you know, you've got the livestock. And that was actually, when I heard about this infestation, I was concerned, you know, for the horses and cattle. Taylor, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, certainly. So the infestation that was identified, while you never really want to have something like this on your property, the location of it geographically, as well as in relation to our operations, both agriculturally and guest-wise, is in a good place in the sense that it is isolated in one of the valleys that we have the ability to eliminate any sort of contact from guests or from animals or anything that might obviously suffer from that type of thing. So it's actually been great in the sense that we're able to isolate it and come up with a plan with the Hawaii Ant Lab that's going to be efficient, that we're hoping for that 100% eradication.
Okay, so when will this kick off? What happens?
Yeah, our first treatment is planned for September the 16th. That gives us about 4 weeks to prepare and plan. We have a lot of things to buy and coordinate, and normally the first time around on these sort of jobs, we have to treat quite a few times. We're finding our feet, so we'd like to kind of over-plan to make sure that we're able to complete the task at hand, especially the first time around.
Now, I know when we first talked with John Morgan, he had mentioned that I think they had some of the pesticide on order. I don't know if it had arrived or if you'd done any initial treatments.
So essentially, we spoke with the representatives from Hawaii Ant Lab, and they were able to identify certain products that they would use in the treatment. And we analyzed what would be the best product to use initially, just for a first application to get the ball rolling in regards to control efforts. And we were able to make that application that's now going to be incorporated into the overall elimination objective.
So how does this work? Do we need a lot of boots on the ground in order to roll out this treatment plan, Kaz?
Yes, it's good. We normally have a crew of around, you know, I'm thinking about 6 to 8 people. Sometimes having more people actually slows the job down, especially the first time around, because everybody's trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. So we'll probably keep the work team down to about 6 or 8 people. And we're going to be doing a lot of learning the first time around, I would think.
So talk about the area that you have to treat, because at the time when we talked to John last month, he was saying that it might just be on 1 or 2 acres. But what's the extent of the buffer zone that you folks are going to have to cover?
We finished the delimiting survey around that area over the past few weeks. And when we incorporate a 55-yard buffer on that area, we have a total of about 20 acres. And about half of that would be infested that we could see. And the outside half is most likely also infested. It's just that we can't find them. So the first job is really to try to get yourself around the actual site, work out where the boundaries of the infestation are, so that we're not treating too much land, and also that we're not treating insufficient amounts and leaving some colonies on the outside.
How does this area, the coverage, the 20 acres, compare to the colony that was found in Maui, in Hana? I thought at one time they found one there.
Oh, yes. On Maui, the infestation near Nahiku is much larger. It's more like 100 acres. And there, a lot of the country is inaccessible. It's not possible to put boots on the ground. So the Maui Invasive Species Committee are working on developing an aerial application regime there, and I believe that's going to be kicking off in a few weeks as well.
Wow. Okay, so that would be the first time then that we're treating it early?
Certainly in Hawaii, yes. Yes. Now, the Kualoa infestation, it's easier country to be walking through, but it's still pretty rough. And that's why we were thinking about aerial application, because some of the areas that were harder to traverse may have been easier to treat from the air, but the decision was to go with a ground-based.
Okay, and the Maui situation, then they may be doing aerial in the next month or so. Do you need special permits for that?
It's my understanding it would be best to talk to the Maui Invasive Species Committee to get it from the horse's mouth. But
okay.
Yeah, there were some regulatory hurdles that we had to work through, as well as developing an entire new method of application, I guess. So that one's been fairly complicated. We were concerned with Kualoa that those delays might not have been something that we would like. So we went for the option of treating from the ground, which we can do straight away.
Taylor, talk about how you folks are having to deal with this challenge because you are a working farm, a ranch.
You know, it's kind of like I mentioned earlier, because of the location of where the ants are present and because it is such a far distance from the centralized location where we deal with most of our guest services, and it's also quite a distance away from areas where we have a lot of our agricultural operations. When it comes to the cattle portion of it, because we do have the ability to rotate cattle and the ability to have other pastures, we're able to pretty much keep everything in check, in the sense of we have complete control to keep everything out that we need to keep out for that purpose. So it's something that I think right now we're just looking forward to getting everything started with Cass and his crew, and like we said, is just expecting this 100% control so we can put it behind us. But it is obviously a long project, and I think having a lot of coordination with all the parties involved is kind of what we're looking at.
And what about the cost that's involved?
One thing that's been really helpful is that we do have our own land stewardship program. So we do have full-time employees that work here just in conservation management, and that's actually who had first discovered the infestation. And so when we met yesterday with Cass and his team, we were able to actually combine forces, if you will. So labor-wise, you know, it's something that we're both contributing to. And then also, as Cass mentioned, product-wise, it's something that we're going to kind of be splitting costs on with the Hawaii Ant Lab and their funding. And so it's definitely not a negligible amount, but it's definitely something that is well within reason.
There are several things in your favor that hopefully will lead to the success of beating this pest back.
Correct.
And so, gosh, 5 years. So how does that work? Kaz, if you want to explain the process of how we tackle this?
Little fire ants are quite resistant to people trying to get rid of them. In order to do so, we actually have to not just treat the one time, but to be treating every 4 to 6 weeks for at least a year in order to just break the ants' dominance on that site. So we're looking at 12 months of fairly intensive work, followed by at least 3 years of what we call post-treatment monitoring. It's really easy to leave just one little colony behind that manages to survive everything we throw at it. And it's really important for us that we find those if they exist and deal with them, because if we don't, then all of the previous work will have been wasted. The site will still have little fire ants.
Well, what's our best guesstimate as to the population out there per acre?
Well, as far as we know, looking at work that other colleagues have done, the estimate of a fully fledged fire ant infestation is that there are about 220 million ants per hectare, and that works out to about 80 million ants per acre. I can reduce that down to a square foot, and there's still a lot of ants per square foot. These are difficult things to get rid of.
Well, that gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about it.
Well, we're really lucky in a perverse way. This couldn't have happened at a better place, because the people on the ground are pretty highly trained. You know, the stewardship and the grazing side of the business. they're all highly trained people, so they're able to recognise this problem when in other places it may have gone unnoticed for a lot longer.
Again, lots of then pluses toward a successful eradication. We have seen them do it in Mililani here on Oahu. I know they're tackling a couple of places, I think, in Windward Oahu. I think Lanikai and Huimanu, I think, there are some neighborhoods there.
Yes. I guess with the level of fire ants on the Big Island, you would expect to see fire ants on Oahu pretty quickly. But luckily, we have the Hawaii Department of Agriculture plant quarantine branch, which pretty much manages to stop 99.999% of fire ants getting onto Oahu, and our job is to kind of mop up the ones that do escape that dragnet, if you like. And so we would expect to see these smaller infestations fairly frequently, and we're operating at the moment on what I call a search and destroy tactic. We find them as quickly, as early as we can, and then we deal with them fairly aggressively. And our goal is to keep them off Oahu, if that's at all possible.
Okay, and anything else you want to underscore, Taylor, just from the ranch's point of view? And I don't know if you're going to have to do much juggling of activities on the ranch there.
Yeah, you know, we're actually not at all. So that's kind of like Cass said. There is kind of like this perverse positive to the situation where we do have a lot of situations that are applicable that are making it as such that we're able to continue our normal operations, both agriculturally and guest speaking. So I think really, if I were to kind of pass something along that, you know, really is more lesson learned, in the sense that there is a lot of good information out there in regards to how the public can identify little fire ant if they believe they have it and what to do. And, you know, between OISC, or Oahu Invasive Species, and the Hawaii Ant Lab, and all of these resources set forth, there is a good network of folks that can help, you know, slow and hopefully stop, you know, the spread of this pest throughout the rest of the state. And so I just kind of, that's how I've been communicating it with my family members as well as coworkers, is really just, you know, it's a good example of why due diligence and just knowing what to look for and educating you a little bit, educating yourself a little bit can really help the overall public good, I guess would be the main communication.
Okay. All right. And then it's just a matter of keeping on top of it and continuing the
exactly,
monitoring.
Exactly. So I think that's why having people like Cass who have the experience with it is very helpful, because you know, that 5-year plan is really meant to just make sure that there is that monitoring, so that, you know, that one colony doesn't go left unchecked, so that we make sure that we are successful in that 100% goal.
Okay. And then how large is Kualoa, the acreage of the
Kualoa
entire ranch?
Is just a little bit over 3,800 acres.
3,800, okay. And then this is on CAS again. So you said the treatment border, well, about 20 acres, and then the infestation is how much, do you think?
Probably closer to 10 or 12.
Okay.
But we...
We don't know for sure.
It's very difficult to find little fire ants where they aren't. Everywhere, our ability to find very small populations is not that good.
Right.
So that's why we add the extra buffer, because we know there are ants there that we haven't found.
And it's a more challenging too if they're in trees, so we'll have to deal with that. And hopefully they're not up in that area. But
yes, well, there are significant parts of that 20 acres do have native forests, so we do have our work cut out for us. But luckily, it's not such a large area. If you think about comparing it with the big infestation at Nahiku, that's more like 150 acres.
Wow. Okay.
So
we'll circle
the difference
back.
Between those two sites is that on one site we have, you know, trained ecologists that can spot these things, and on the other site we didn't.
That was Kaz Vanderwood, research manager of the Hawaii Ant Lab, and Taylor Kellerman, Kualoa Ranch's director of agriculture and stewardship. They are working with the state agriculture department to try and beat back this latest infestation of little fire ant here on Oahu.